This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, if I survive the snow, I'm going to be all right.
I know. It's like, here we go again.
Here we go again. Except this time seems like it was more snow than ice.
Yeah. Well, that ice is dangerous. My goodness. I remember the last time we had this, didn't you have like all kinds of, like out on the interstate, it was just, there was like trucks that were just like slipping and sliding and stuck in ice for what seemed like days.
Oh, yeah. There was miles and miles of truckers and cars.
Yeah.
And of course, it was a real ice storm. This was mostly snow.
Yeah.
I know there's ice on the highways because it hadn't thawed out. And I don't know when it will. But we had a lot of snow. I've never seen snow that hard in years.
Yeah.
And it just, it was coming down.
Yeah.
And it's
one of those things where it's just like you see that thing coming again, and then people's, from last year, that goes through your brain, and it's like, oh, man, I remember, when this happened a year ago, and it's just like, so it seems like, people were starting to close a little bit early and kind of take precautions ahead of time so not caught off guard.
Well, we closed at 4:00 on Wednesday, to get everybody home before the snow and the ice started. And of course, the temperature, has been 14, 17 degrees ever since.
Yeah.
It has not been warm, let's put it that way. So everybody is trying to stay off the freeways, off the highways, because the chill factor, is like 5.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Man.
So if you were out on the highway, it wouldn't take any time at all to freeze.
Yeah.
You would be frozen stiff. So the best thing the last 2 days is not to have gone out at all.
Yeah. This is the kind of cold that it's the kind of cold that it goes like right through your skin, and it goes right all the way straight to your bones. And you feel it from the deepest inside you, and you cannot get warm. Ugh.
Well, you remember years ago, we heard people talk about long handles all the time. And now they call them cuddle duds and different things. But people put this insulated underwear on, and it will keep them from freezing to death.
Yeah.
It may not be pretty, but it'll help.
Well, in those kinds of extreme situations, we don't care about pretty. We just want to stay warm. Man.
That's what I'm thinking. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
Yeah.
It might save your life.
Yeah.
Everybody should have every precaution.
They really should. Did you go to the grocery store and try to get like bread or anything like that ahead of time?
Yes,
yeah.
Bread mm-hmm. and soft drinks was gone. Those were already gone.
Soft drinks were gone too?
Oh, yeah, soft drinks and bread. There was still a little bit of milk, but that was it.
Yeah, man. I can't believe it. It seems like it's almost like a yearly thing now. Maybe we should put this on our calendar for next year.
That's right. 1st of February, you're going to have bad, bad weather.
Yeah.
And be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Have your tanks full, but don't go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Stock up and hunker down. Fill everything up with gas. Get all the things that you need. And just kind of take 2 or 3 or 4 days and stay home and relax.
That's
and
it.
Take a vacation.
I talked to the butane people, and I was on their list. But they had a lot of people that have just butane, and they had no heat.
Oh.
I said, take me off the list. Put me at the very, very bottom. It's just for my fireplaces, and it doesn't matter.
Oh, well, that was nice.
So, yeah, well, I felt really bad even calling them when I found out there was people without heat.
Man.
I said, don't even consider me. Mine's just for fireplaces.
Yeah. Golly, it's so dangerous. Not only, you know, even when you get the snow, it's one thing. The ice is completely something different. But then the cold temperatures, it is so dangerous. And we're not used to it. I mean, it only happens to us every once in a while. I want to say like once a year now.
Every so many years. But I did not realize there was that many people in this area that were using butane for heat.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't have either gas or electric. And they don't, these small towns. I did not know that. And ever since Monday, they've been trying to catch up. They couldn't catch up. They had so many of them without heat. I couldn't even believe it. That's scary.
Yeah, it's real scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really scary. And apparently they never even got through.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really worried about people that have butane.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes, especially, you know, after last year when, you know, the power went out and, you know, so many people had no power for so long and no other way to heat, you know, now it's like, well, okay, we got a backup system. So if the power goes out, you know, we got butane for heat or, you know, gas or whatever, you know, some kind of backup plan. I think is what kind of goes through your brain. It's like, well, if this happens, you know, what do we do? And then you wonder, okay, you need generator sales, you know, how do those go? And
that's exactly right. Everybody was talking about Generacs, and they're about $5,000.
Yeah.
But I know several people that did buy them because they were so worried about us losing our electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
They wanted a good backup plan.
Yeah, it seems like we talked about that a little bit last year after last year's storm. And we're like, you know, man, I wonder how many of us are going to, you know, go out and get generators. And we talked about the price of them and how they went, you know, through the roof. And then, you know, the further we got away, it's just like, well, you know, hopefully we're going to, you know, think about getting this and we'll never actually need it. But here we are a year later and kind of like the same thing. And I'm sure those that went and got generators after the storm last year, I'm sure they're probably very thankful that they went and did.
Man. Well, and I was reading yesterday, this couple out here in Frisco, I don't know what they did to their fireplace, something they shouldn't have been doing, obviously. They almost burned the house down, caused several $1,000s worth of damage, had to move out of the house. I mean, people, be careful with your fireplaces.
Wow.
You know, my gosh, I don't know what they could have done. The fire department had to come. They must have put something in that fireplace that was combustible.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Is they were trying to get it to start, and it didn't, and they put something in it.
They're okay, though, right?
They're okay, but the fireplace and part of the house is not.
Wow.
I mean, they did a lot of damage.
Man.
I mean, can you imagine?
I know it. You always hear about, you know, fireplace incidents or space heater incidents. You know, they're too close to, you know, some drapes or some curtains, or they tip over on carpet or something and they catch something around them on fire. And you hear all these things, especially when it gets really, really cold, when people start breaking out those things and they don't normally use them. You know, they don't always take the necessary
precautions.
People
shouldn't even have space heaters anymore.
I know.
Everything should be central heating and air.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. There's still people in little bitty towns that might have a space heater in the bedroom or someplace. And that is dangerous.
Yeah. Really, really
dangerous. If you're not watching those things, yes, they are.
Man.
And people just have to really use their heads.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, when it gets really cold like this and people get really desperate, you know, they're trying to stay warm. In Amarillo it was what? 6? Was it 6 for the high?
Yeah, it was like 6 and the chill factor was below 0.
Yeah. I mean, those are extreme. Yeah. This is extreme temperatures. And so people do, you know, all kinds of extreme things that they wouldn't normally do. And sometimes just to stay warm, it's like people get so desperate just for some warmth and some heat. We don't always, you know, think through the safety precautions. But my goodness, it's like, I wonder now that we've had this like 2 years now, it's like, will we make, you know, plans even further? Maybe people that thought about generators last year and kind of, you know, passed them by, maybe they'll go and think about it for next year. Maybe we're on a trend now.
Well, Dallas is so far south that we don't usually think about Dallas going to get all this snow and ice.
Yeah.
And it didn't every year. But now we've got 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Well, last year we called it, they dubbed it the 100-year storm or something like that. So now we got it again. And so we can't say that anymore.
It wasn't 100 years, was it?
No.
It took about 12 months for it to come right back around.
12 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And East Texas and West Texas got different storms, right? I mean, you were coming
That's
up
right.
from.
It really was.
Yeah.
It seemed like Midland, Odessa, Kermit going that way. It seemed like it was coming from New Mexico, that way. And ours seemed to have come from Oklahoma City and Kansas.
Yeah. It's really
strange. Yeah, it came
straight
from Oklahoma here.
I mean, what are the... And then, and this is just on the... What was it, last... Was it last weekend, I think? Or maybe it was earlier this week, that big storm that went right up the East Coast. And they were calling that a cyclone bomb or a storm... I don't know what they called it. It's some fancy weather term. But, all that extreme weather went up there. And I'm thinking, okay, good. We're at least nowhere near that. And then, boom, this happened. And it's like weird weather everywhere.
And I talked to a friend in Florida, and they were having tornadoes yesterday.
What? Really?
Them and Mississippi had tornado warnings out all day long.
It is way
and
too early.
And they live right on the ocean. And she said that ocean was lapping at the shore. It was coming in hard. She said, can you imagine if you were out there in a boat?
Wow.
And I'm going, oh, my gosh.
My goodness. Tornadoes in February in Florida.
That's right. And Mississippi. Florida and Mississippi both had tornado watches yesterday. Wow. I don't know if any touched down. I don't know.
My goodness.
But they did have tornado watches out.
Wow. It is so strange. So weird. But at least everybody in Camp Bagby is okay, right?
Everybody at Camp Bagby is fine.
How did Max handle the storm?
Max had never been out in the snow before. He at first he wasn't sure. Then he decided he liked it. But he did get pretty cold. We did have to get him back in the house. And the llamas were loving it. The llamas were out eating hay. I mean, here everybody's freezing to death. They're out eating hay. The kids went out. They went sledding again and again during the day.
Man.
So and they would go down the hill on their sleds. It was fun.
So the ones that didn't have to worry and be responsible about safety, they turned it into a play day.
It was a play day. And the little girls that live across the road, they didn't have anything. And so they went and got their daddy and had him look over here to see how our kids were doing it. And they wanted him to go find them something that they could go down the hill. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Copycats.
That's right. But they had a lot of fun. I think they ran into a fence a couple of times.
Oh,
but
boy.
That was fun. Okay. Yeah, they got going pretty fast.
Couple injuries, broke arms. It's fine.
Yeah, we were lucky. Nobody got hurt.
Oh, good.
Yeah, nobody got hurt, thank goodness.
Wow. Well, hopefully we won't have to deal with this.
It was a great day.
Yeah, it was a great day.
Oh, yeah, and I was in the house. That's why it was great.
Yeah. Wow.
I was not outside with everybody, I can assure you.
Oh, that's good. Stay in where it's nice and warm. Man.
That's right. Just watch from the door and the window.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And did you see speaking of weird things that have been going on, did you see the job numbers that came out, what was they, on Thursday or Friday, through the roof, better than expected. I was shocked. I thought, man, with all the inflation and the prices and all the things that are going on, I would have expected job numbers to kind of go down. I don't know why. It just seems like, the bubble's got to burst at some point, and the job situation seemed like it was incredible. Which seemed like a good thing for the economy in general, I think.
That's right. It's a good start of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, and the other good news is I've been working on all these maturities, getting them to the bank. and we've got about five or six maturities, the Vega policy, the Lester policy, Kosakoff. We're waiting on Washington, and then we've got another new one called Stoley. He lived it out in Arizona. We have two policies on that gentleman, and they're both $400,000.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So we've got a lot. We've got, you know, several million dollars hitting the bank in maturities.
And all of them kind of hit at once.
Well, Lester and Vega, I think, are in the bank. We're waiting on Kosakoff, Washington, and then Stoley is the new one.
Wow.
And I think I left one out, but I don't remember what the name was, because we had six.
My goodness. It seems...
So that's a lot of maturities.
Yeah, it was just, what, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how there hadn't been any maturities in a while.
Yeah.
And then it seems like all of a sudden, what, five or six came flooding in relatively at the same time. Wow.
That's right. And Stoley is the latest one. And as I said, he's got two $400,000 policies. And I don't even know who all's in it. I hadn't even looked it up. I'm just trying to find it. Find the death certificate now.
Get all the paperwork done and the...
Yeah, we've got to get the death certificate before we can get it turned in. He had a Mutual of Omaha policy. And I don't remember who the other policy was with, but one of them was Mutual of Omaha.
Wow. Are they...
Yeah.
Are
so we've got about six people that passed away that we're going to get paid on.
Wow. And it's just coincidence that they came in relatively at the same time, right? There's no conditions that would have caused.
Yeah, you never know how that's going to work.
Man, my goodness. Well,
And I got a call from a gentleman this week. He was unhappy. And, you know, I don't know how to make him happy. I'm trying. He had five policies in a row mature. He made $175,000.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, made $175,000. Now he's got five that are over. So he's upset about that. He said, I should have done a better job. And, you know, we do everything we can when we buy the policy, as you know. We read the doctor reports. We send the life expectancy to every client. Say, you know, what do you think? Do you think you want to go in it? Yes, I want to go in it. If it goes over, then it's my fault, right? But the man's going to make another $111,000.
Jeez, that's a big chunk of change.
Even though it's going over, he's going to have to wait a little bit for his money. You know, he knows he's going to get his principal. He's going to get his interest. And the premiums are so low on it, it's not going to hurt him. This man has premiums lower than anybody in town.
Really?
You know?
Wow.
Yeah, they're terribly low. So even if it went another 2 years, it wouldn't hurt him.
Wow.
So anyway, when he gets through, you know, he has, in my opinion, an awfully good profit.
Yeah,
know?
He set up. It sounds like he set up pretty nicely when those mature.
I think so, but he doesn't think so. And he said that when I told everybody that we're 10 to 12% over, he just doesn't believe it. And I said, you know, we went over every policy, our accountants did. I said, to give me the figure, how much we're over, and it was 10 to 12%.
Really?
And I told him, I said, I wouldn't story to you. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it is what it is. We always give you everything exactly like the accounting department comes out with it.
So
we're hoping he'll get in a better mood when he has some maturities, and he'll rethink his intelligence on this.
Well, and that's part of the that's part of the dynamic when you're into life settlements, is that it may actually go over, because it's not like doctors do their best to to map everything out, lay everything out. You know, here's the situation, here's what we've done, here's what we've tried, here's how they've reacted to it, and so you've got all this information and you look at it, but it's never like just a decision that people make. It could go over.
It is not cut and dried, because they're human beings.
Yeah.
And there's always room for error one way or the other.
Yeah, and it's the law of the averages, I guess, over time. Some go over, some come in early, some come in on time.
And, you know, we've got people that have been with us since 2013, and they've all made a lot of money. Now, we know there's a whole bunch of policies went over, but they always come through. They always get their money. The other thing he didn't quite understand was when I say the average is 22%, we take an average of all the policies that matured, and we said, okay, what is the actual average? Divide it out. Give me the average. The average is 22%.
Of all the policies and, of all time, right? Or just his?
Of all time. It's just an average of 22%. And like, and I try to explain this every week. If you've got a 24-month policy, you will get 24% interest. It doesn't matter if it's early, late, or on time. It's a set amount. You won't get more or less with timing. Timing has nothing to do with it. It's 1% a month if it's 24 months.
So even if it came in and say, 12, you'd still get 24%.
Yeah, you're still going to get 24%. If it's late and you have to pay premium, you subtract the premium off of your profit. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to figure.
So do a lot of people understand how the dynamic of the investment or is this a common thing or like maybe a not so common thing?
Most people understand. They've been with us enough. They've had enough maturities. They know that some of theirs is always going to go over. Some of them will be early. You know, out of these that we just did, a couple of them were early. And, you know, it doesn't hurt your bottom line if it's early.
Yeah.
So you have to figure that you're going to have some that'll be on time and some aren't. But lots of times you think, well, this is going to go over. And the next week, one of them will mature. It happens all the time.
And when you're bidding on these policies, you're looking at all the numbers. You're really weighing, you know, if it does go over, what are the premiums going to be? How will it affect, you know, the overall bottom line? How is it, you know, what does this do to change the dynamic? And sometimes you won't even bid on a policy if when you start running those numbers, it starts eating too much into the profit. You won't even bid on those. And so it seems like when you do have a situation like that where they do go over, even if it does, you've got to pay premiums, but you know it's not going to affect it because you've already done the math, you've already run the numbers, and it won't have too big of an impact on their overall return.
It shouldn't. And if it's one of those older ones that had a higher premium, you didn't remember it was going to have a higher premium. You know, if a person gets in trouble, we help them with their premiums.
Yeah.
And so you know, we try to always be fair and just on everything we do because we're here to make you money. We're not here to take your money. We're here to make you money. That's what this is all about. It's called your money, and it's because we're trying to make people money. We have made a lot of money. We've had $10 million in maturities, I think, in the last 12 months because we did have $100 million, and now we've got $90 million that we're overseeing.
Man.
And you take $90 million, and we've got 12%. That we think are over.
Wow.
And that's not bad out of that much.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Wow, you start running those numbers. It looks actually really good, actually. You know, man, because especially.
I think that the numbers are good. They're safe. They're solid numbers. We go back over all these LEs all the time. When we get a new LE, if it's another 20 months, 40 months, doesn't matter. We look at it and see where the doctors say what went wrong. Well, how did this happen? And lots of times we'll call them and say, send me all the medical on that person. Send me from day one.
So
I want to see how this happened.
You'll get revised data and then still go back and look at that and then see if maybe, you know, there was, you know, something in there or maybe, you know, there's a new, I don't even know. This is probably going to sound crazy, but maybe like a new trend or like a new treatment or something that might be affecting numbers. You're always going back.
That would affect it. We want to know about it.
Yeah. Interesting. When you do, when policies do go over, and you're you know considering all the you know which ones to bid on, you do escrow for for premiums just in case they do, right?
Yes, we always escrow an extra 12 months premium to protect everybody, to give you that extra 12 months in case it should go over. Then you don't have to worry for an extra 12 months past the expiration date.
Wow. And so for this one particular case, even though it is going over, the profit is still going to be $111,000, right?
Yeah, even if it goes all the way out, they're still going to make another $111,000, which I just don't think is that bad.
I don't think that's bad either. I'm thinking, you know, my goodness.
I mean, you know.
That sounds pretty fantastic, actually. There's not a whole lot of things where you can know what you're going to make ahead of time and have that much confidence. Plus, you know, the fact that people are in a life settlement, those profits are not going to go away. So anything that, you know, anybody's already got in the pipeline, any policies that they're already in or will be in the next, you know, near future, if something, you know, happens on Wall Street, or if something happens in Ukraine, or if, you know, anything globally, because there's so much uncertainty right now, you look at other options, and this seems like a life settlement is probably the one that's protected against these types of things more than any other options. I think it's what it looks like.
Well, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I made all this money in the stock market. Yes, you did. But, you know, this week, again, the stock market is falling very badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so people did lose. I know they said this one billionaire had lost, you know, like $1 billion.
Ooh.
And, you know, the stock market is for a lot of people, and a lot of people it isn't for. You have to have a tough stomach.
Yeah, yeah, you really do.
To ride it up and down month after month.
There is, and with so much uncertainty right now, I mean, it doesn't really take an economist to look at things and say, you know, look, when people are uncertain and there's weird things going on around the world, you know, there is a setup for something to potentially happen. We look at the economy right now, and you know, at some point that may burst. And, you know, I mean, if something happens, you know, in Ukraine, there could be a situation. And so I think people that are in a life, and correct me if I'm wrong, I may be looking at it the wrong way, but it seems like people who are set up in a life settlement right now, they're not going to be affected by those things if they were to happen. And so they're really, really in a good spot.
No, they're not going to be affected. Even if a policy goes over, their money is safe. That's
yeah.
the main thing.
Yeah.
Your principal's safe, your interest is safe, and it's not going to go down. And the stock market this last week has been all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some big losses on Wall Street. So, you know, it's up to everybody, you know, where they want their money and how they want it to work. But for me, I think this has been, you know, has really worked for us.
Yeah, consistently for a number of years, too. You know, it's just like if it was in the first few months or a few couple of years, you know, think, okay, well, you know, let's kind of, you know, we really need some more data. We need some more time under our belts. But you've got, you know, many, many years of doing this. And you've been through, you went through 2008 and survived that. And really, any of these other, I guess, micro crashes or, you know, situations that have arisen over the last, you know, many, many years, you've ridden through them all, and people have still, because I remember, it was probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, ish, towards the end of the year, it seems like something terrible had happened, and it seems like everybody that was in a life settlement didn't even bat an eye, they weren't even concerned, it didn't miss a beat, everybody kept making money, while other people who were not in life settlements were really in some difficult situations. And so, you know, as we go into uncertain times, it's always, you know, best to be as, as conservative as possible. And you've got the numbers there, the historical
data. We should be conservative, and we should have everything, more than one policy. If you're waiting on just two policies, you know, it's not a good thing. You have to be diversified in this, just like everything else in life. If you're not diversified, you won't not make the kind of money you need to make. Because all of our old clients have been with us a long time, have made a lot of money, but they consistently spread their money. They spread it in different policies. and they may put 50,000 in one, they may put 100,000 in another, but they're not going to put like $500,000, you know, all in one policy.
Yeah. Even having something as conservative as a life settlement, it's still good to have different policies, a number of different, diversified, I guess, is always the big word.
You've got to be diversified and have a lot of policies in order to make it work. And let me bring this up. We have a new policy that we're going to be finishing up this next week, and I want everybody that wants to get in to get in it. The lady has a metastatic colon cancer as well as liver cancer.
Oh, my.
She's had it for quite a while, and now it's in the end times on it, and it has spread, and she is not going to make it, as I said. She went and did alternate treatment, and that's a giveaway right there.
Oh, yeah. You talk about that all the time.
Yeah, and there's multiple sites. They're trying to treat all this metastatic disease. It's, as I said, it's in the liver. There's multiple sites of the disease that they're trying to treat. She has a bowel obstruction. They couldn't even get past that. And the kidneys are in bad shape. I think it's going to really be a good policy. As I said, this mass is in the ascending colon. It's obstructing it, and they can't go back in and resect it again.
So they've kind of run out of options.
It came back into, early in 2021 on her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It seems like, as you know, they go through the treatment options, it seems kind of like they're almost there. They don't have many more choices left of things to try. And
it's,
it probably,
it's a reoccurring metastatic colon cancer. And then, of course, they've got the liver cancer. You've got the bowel obstruction. You've got all this. And this started some time ago, but it all came back the first of 2021. And then in December of 2021, it revealed multiple sites of the metastatic disease in the liver, as well as the colon.
Wow. It sounds like...
So it's a good policy. Did you know that we also did a study this last week on what policies are coming due the most? And colon cancer, we've had more colon cancer ones come due than any other thing.
Really? Wow.
And I didn't think that. Metastatic breast cancer is the second one that we've had the most of.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I did not know. And that's new information. That's new data.
This is brand new. We went back and looked at all of our maturities, every one of them, and said, okay, add these up, add those up, add those up. Which ones are coming due the most often? And by golly, it was colon cancer.
Wow. Has it always been that way, or was there?
This is the first time we've done a study on it.
Oh, wow. Neat. It's interesting.
And breast cancer is second. I knew we'd had an awful lot of breast cancer ones, you know, that we paid off on.
Yeah. I know you've got some policies, you know, some types of policies that a lot of investors will be, you know, really drawn to. And, you know, they will say to you, hey, you know, if this kind of policy comes up, I want in. And so now you've got actually some data to kind of, I guess, maybe back it up, or, you know, show them, you know, hey, yeah.
Yeah, we have data on everything I tell you. We always have the data to support it, and we keep those figures.
Wow.
And did you know when we turn a policy down, the government makes us keep a record of it for 7 years?
Really? I didn't know that.
If we turn a policy down, they require us to keep a record of it.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't know what it's about.
Okay, because I was going to ask. I'm like, if you turn it down, what difference does it make? I don't know.
I didn't think it made any, but apparently it makes a difference to the government.
Wow. All right. And for 7 years, you say?
Yeah. You have to keep it 7 years if you've turned one down.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I did not know that. A lot of record keeping and a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross, that's for sure. Much more than I think I really, really knew before.
Remember, everything we do is about accounting. Everything we do is a numbers. Everything is numbers with us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're doing
That's
all that
why
accounting.
We have two in-house accountants.
Yeah.
There's that much accounting every day of our life.
I couldn't imagine having to do that myself.
Oh, I know. And you have to have somebody good. And as you know, Flint Gaines has come on board.
Yeah.
He's very, very good, very knowledgeable. I think everybody's going to like Flint.
Yeah, it sounds like he's working out well. A nice addition to the team.
He is. He's behind, but he's catching up.
Wow. Cool. Great. Well, I'm glad that that's going so well. I know a couple of weeks ago you'd mentioned that somebody new was coming on board. That's good. It's good. People can feel confident that that it's working out well. That's really, really great.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Go to the website. Look at what everybody made. Look if it came in on time. Look if it was late. There's just a lot of information for you to get.
Great research tool for new investors that are thinking about getting into life settlements, too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It'll give you a lot of insight.
You get a lot of comments.
Things that you need to know.
Yeah, a lot of background data. It's really good for research and things like that. You really do. You get a lot of people that say, you know, hey, I went there and I found out a little bit more, and it kind of answers some of their questions before they even come in. So it's very, very cool. Okay, so every Saturday morning around this time, we take a little break from numbers and figures, and we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, we're going to talk about Athens, Texas.
Oh.
Now, Athens, Texas, over here in East Texas, did you know that Athens, Texas is named after Athens, Greece?
No. It seems obvious. But no, I
would
have never guessed.
Most of us would have never guessed where Athens came from. That's exactly where it came from, Athens, Greece.
Huh.
Athens is famous for a lot of things. A lot of people don't even know all this. They're the black-eyed pea capital, of course, of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher Davis is the one who invented the hamburger. He's from Athens, Texas.
Really?
Yes. Fred Agnew, he's a businessman, a rancher. He owned a wildlife preserve there. A lot of famous people come from Athens, Texas. Pete Donahue, Major League Baseball pitcher. He's from Athens, Texas.
Oh.
Jakeem Grant, NFL wide receiver, Miami Dolphins. He's from there.
Wow.
William Hahn. He's a sportsman, a businessman. William Wayne Justice, United States District Court judge, is from there.
Really?
Terrence McGee, former NFL cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, is from there.
Wow.
Nobody would believe we had this many famous people from Athens.
No.
A town of 12,000, by the way.
What a ever guessed. Wow.
Clint Murchison, who started the Dallas Cowboys, was raised in Athens, Texas.
Seriously?
His friend, Sid Richardson, was raised in Athens, Texas.
Wow. I didn't know that.
James Spencer, former member of the Texas House of Representatives and a judge. Stuart Spicer, a famous surgeon in Kaufman, Texas. He's former Republican member of the Texas House of Representatives. He's from Athens.
Really?
Baron Tanner, former NFL defensive lineman, Athens, Texas.
Wow.
I mean, it's unbelievable how many successful men are from Athens, Texas.
Population 12,000, you say, right?
Population 12,000. But you see, all of them, most of them, their fathers were farmers and ranchers. They grew up the way most kids should grow up, you know? They grew up, you know, out in the open, playing, doing all this. It just makes a difference when a kid grows up like that.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like it's I'm sitting here running through the numbers real quickly in my brain, and it's just almost like the talent saturation percentage has got to be like through the roof. It's like
it is.
Wow.
I mean, all these guys became baseball players. football players, judges. I mean, I haven't heard a bad story about any kids coming from Athens, Texas, I'll tell you.
Wow. I hate to sound like my grandparents, but there must be something in the water.
I think it is something in the water. They ate a lot of steak. That might have done it. And the one that I picked out to tell you about is Sid Richardson. Now, Sid Richardson grew up with Clint Murchison. He was born in 1891. And him and Clint said, you know, we're going to go in the oil business together. Well, first he attended Baylor University. He had to borrow the money to go because his parents didn't have the money. And then him and Clint Murchison formed an oil company. And from 1919 to 1920, they made $1 million in the oil business.
Oh, my goodness. And back then,
yeah,
that would have felt like...
That was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then they went broke.
What?
And they didn't make any money again until 1933.
Really?
And then, yeah. Sid Richardson never did marry, by the way. He was a bachelor. He was president of Sid Richardson Gasoline Company in Kermit, Sid Richardson Carbon Company in Odessa, Sid Richardson in Fort Worth, and he had an oil company. And later on, when he died, he left millions to his nephews, and the nephews took that money and started buying oil and gas properties. And they ended up as billionaires.
Wow.
Everybody knows the story of Perry Bass and the Bass brothers over there in Fort Worth. They amassed a huge fortune. And he's the one that started them in business. Now, Sid Richardson, when he died, he named John Connolly executor of his estate.
Really?
They said John Connolly didn't have to work for several years. He made so much money taking care of the estate of Sid Richardson.
Wow. Man,
yes,
that's cool.
And he was also friends with Amon Carter that owned the newspaper in Fort Worth. And Amon Carter is the one that got him to start donating money. Amon Carter told him, said, you need to be given scholarships and gifts. So he established the Sid Richardson Foundation. That was in 1947. And so then... They said, well, you need a museum. You know, you've done so many wonderful things. And so he established the Sid Richardson Auditorium, the Sid Richardson. His collection of Remingtons and Russells is the best in Texas.
Really?
He had a lifelong love of Western art. It's kind of like me when it comes to Western art.
Oh, yeah.
So he started collecting. And that is all in his museum now. All these works by Remington and Russell, by the way.
Really?
Huge collection, worth millions and millions. Then he established the Sid Richardson College at Rice University. He gave the physics building at Texas Christian. He started a Boy Scout camp on Lake Bridgeport. He did an academic building at the University of Texas. The Eugene Barker Texas History Collection. And then down at Waco, the Department of Mathematics.
Really?
And then he went over there to Sherman. He built a recreation center, the Sid Richardson Building at Texas Wesleyan. He's got a lot of things at TWU, by the way.
Wow.
He established a visual arts at a country day school. At the Science Center at Hardin-Simmons. He did a residence hall at Howard Payne in Brownwood.
Really?
Yes. Then there's a Sid Richardson Tower at Texas Health and Texas Methodist. This guy, as I said, he never got married, but his philanthropy is just goes everywhere all over Texas. He was a great guy. He owned an island. I don't
really
know if you remember that. I talked about that island several years ago. It's down by Corpus Christi. He owned his own island, had his own plane, and he was leaving there, and that is how he was killed. And for some reason, I guess he played the field. He never got married, but he did an awful lot of good. And he came from Athens, Texas, and really made his life count.
Man.
He was very smart. You know, he knew the oil business. At a very early age, him and Clint went into the oil business. And even though they went broke, they just went back and did it again. And the second time, they were very successful.
Man, you know, it's, I always love to hear when people do do well, you know, business wise, and they're very successful, you know, financially. But my goodness, I guess when you know, start looking at all the philanthropy that Sid was doing and how, you know, far reaching it was, it's like, imagine all the people that he's helped.
That was a beneficiary of his generosity.
Yeah,
I mean, once Eamon Carter told him, you know, you need to be giving, you need to be doing all this, he turned everything around and started doing good. I mean, especially for people in Fort Worth, at TCU, Baylor, Ever College, Rice University, they all got part of his money.
Wow. I mean, that is really,
really
cool.
He really did a good job with his money. Yeah, he was a cool, cool person and very well liked. He would have all these people come down there on his island and stay. He'd fly them down his plane. So, you know, he was a very busy person, but he was busy giving back.
Yeah, no doubt. It sounds like he made himself comfortable and happy and took care of himself. And then once he was established and everything was, you know, set in stone for himself, then he went and started spreading his wings and spreading his net far and wide. And that's really, really cool. That's that's a trait that a lot of people don't always have. And so he, you know, it's
now,
a lot
of people make a lot, but they don't do any good with it, you know.
Yeah.
They just fight over it. And nobody ever fought over any of his money. And then he left the boys, you know, his nephews, that money. And look what they did with it.
Yeah.
They turned it into billions. So it just shows what you can do if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah, and to have the resources and be able to do that and help so many people, it's really, it says a lot about his character, and you don't see people with that kind of a character very much anymore.
No, you don't.
It's really nice.
And look
to
at
hear.
All the companies he owned out in Midland, Kermit, all out in there. He had all these companies out there as well as an oil company in Fort Worth. He owned a big ranch. He never got away from ranching. I've noticed a lot of the guys from Athens, Texas, still have a ranch down there. A lot of them have kept ranches. They never forgot where they came from.
Yeah, I can't say as I blame them. It's
no.
It's our way of life.
When they want to get away, go to Athens, Texas.
Yeah, really.
There's not a lot of people there. And, you know, you can get out in the country and have a very quiet time. And a lot of these executives, I know they need that.
Yeah. Or maybe even move to Athens and then start drinking the water.
There you go. See if you can't improve yourself, right? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You know, they ought to have statues and minstrels ought to sing songs about Sid Richardson, that's for sure. My goodness, what an inspiration.
Well, I know he's well, he's really an inspiration and well thought of. Even years later, they still talk about him.
No doubt.
And if you're in Fort Worth, you can go to his museum, go see all these things that applied his life. That is really fabulous.
Have you, I've never been to the museum before. I guess I don't know why. There's just so many things to do.
It is fabulous.
Yeah.
Anybody that loves Western art, it is a wonderful place to go. Because you know how I love Western art.
Yeah.
And to go and see all these original Remingtons. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And to see all the art that he possessed. And he gave it to the museum for the city of Fort Worth for people to enjoy.
Man, that's really, really cool. That is really cool. Have you been over to the museum before?
Yes. Uh-huh. I've been there and loved it. And I would go back any day of the week. You know, Fort Worth has two or three museums. They have great museums over there, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And you used to, because I know how much you love Western art, you used to have a really beautiful picture in the office at one point. It's been several years since I've been over there, but I remember some of
those. It's still there.
Is it really still there? It's
yes.
A gorgeous picture.
Yes. Yeah. I love Western art. and I have quite a bit of it. Even at my home, I have Western art.
I bet you really have a strong connection to the museum. Definitely on the list of things to do this year.
All right, let's see that you get it done.
Yeah, I will. I'll let you know how that goes. This is your money.
Yeah, let me know about that.
Yeah, I'll probably take pictures and send them to you, and you're like, I've been there a thousand times. This is great, but I've already seen it. This is your money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Go there, check us out.
What do you see coming for the next couple of months? Like with the, I don't know, I'm not saying like predict the economy, but what do you see, you know, happening? Because it seems like there's somewhat of a overall general shift in people kind of maybe thinking, you know, it might be time to get a little bit more conservative, get a little more stable. Do you see anything like that happening? Do you see rough waters? Do you see, what do
well,
you see?
Well, I don't know. We have a lot of people call. We have a lot of people come in. We have a lot of people who sign up with us because they don't think the stock market is where they want to be. Now, there's some people say, oh, I could have made more than the stock market. Well, that remains to be seen. You know, I don't know. They might make more. But this is a conservative investment. We're going to make money in it. It has its ups and downs as far as timing, but that's to be expected. It's not ever going to go down, and I like that. I like the fact that we always get our money back. We always get our principal. We always get our interest. And I just don't know of anything else that tells me I'll always get my principal and interest.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and check your portfolio every day to see if you've got anything left.
That's right, to see what is there.
Yeah.
Man, that big stock that fell this week, people lost millions and millions and millions, $1 trillion on that.
Jeez, man.
Yeah,
that'll get your attention.
They're all
in a
talking
hurry.
About it, and I don't even know what that company does, but I know it fell tremendously.
Yeah, my goodness.
And a lot of people had it.
There are some
so
risks.
We'll see how that plays out.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it may even have a ripple effect. It may cause some uncertainty in other areas and make some other things get a little bit unstable as well.
Well, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, everything was down because of that.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, like when something happens with like the stock market or anything that affects Wall Street, it's almost like a domino effect. If there's some uncertainty with one thing, it may, you know, transfer over into something else and bleed into another area. And before you know it, you know, it's just like this big, huge domino effect sometimes. If it goes really bad, really fast, we've seen it, you know, happen before. So, but with a life settlement, there are three big risks that people need to know about, even though they're not the same risks as people on Wall Street or the stock market, you know, are concerned with. There are three ones. What's the biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it can go over. I talk about this all the time. That's why you must be accredited investor to do this, where that you can stand it if it goes over. Okay. If it goes over, you have to be prepared. You have to know how much the premium will be. Can you afford it? If you can't, you can't afford to be in this because the premium is not that much. So that's your biggest risk, is it could go over. The time to get your money might be extended out. But there'll be a portion of them, as you know, will be on time. A portion are going to be late, and a portion will be early. And so you have to consider all those.
That's really how the whole investment is designed. It's not designed for people to come in, make one policy investment, and then get out. This is something that happens over time. It's a strategy. It's a plan. And so never look at just one policy in a bubble all by itself. Step back, look at the whole thing, you know, because you will. You'll see, you know, law of averages shows you'll see a number come in early, some will come on time, and some will come in late, like you say. So it really is the big picture. So what's the second biggest risk?
The second biggest risk is it's not liquid during that time. It's invested naturally. So if it's in the middle of an investment, you can't just say, well, I'll have $100,000 today. If that $100,000 invested, you have to wait till it matures, and then you can take it out.
And it shouldn't usually be that long because you're generally going for, you know, going for stage four cancer policies. Generally, they're not going to run, you know, long periods of time, which is, I think, one of the things that people like most about life settlements is the quick return, right?
Yes. We have a lot of returns, you know, that come in a lot sooner than we thought. We have a lot of them on time. We have a lot of them that are a couple months late. Then we have some that are a year, 2 years late. Mm. It can happen, and you must be prepared.
All right. And what's the third risk?
The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. If it went under, it would take you longer to get your money. They're all so big now, we haven't had a life insurance company go under in years and years. So that's your least risk.
Yeah. I mean, the premium income, you talk about this all the time, the money that they
that's
make.
Right. Their premium income is billions of dollars. I mean, you know, they're worth like 50 to 100 billion.
Yeah, man.
I saw one the other day worth 350 billion. They were Chinese, by the way.
Really? 350 billion with a B?
Yeah, with a B, 350 billion, folks.
Wow, that's not something that you just kind of ignore. You don't really gloss over that one. For those who are thinking about doing a life settlement, or would like to, or maybe they just want to be, you know, diversified, or maybe they're not quite yet accredited. What are some other options for people who, you know, are looking for something?
They can
else?
Do annuities. Annuities have been around now 150 years. I used to say 145. It's about 150 now. It's one of the most conservative investments on planet Earth.
Hmm.
Insurance companies have got a jillion dollars, billions and billions. They pay off. You can take out an annuity, keep it for 10 years, and walk away with all your money, plus your interest. Or you can start drawing next year. I have one client that started drawing on one policy. Now she's drawing on the second one. So she's taking $1,000 a month in income right now. I've got people that are taking less, and I've got people taking more. But at the end of the term, if you've got the right life insurance policy, you can walk away 100% with your money.
I know this is kind of a trick question, but is there a preference? Which do you prefer, a life settlement or an annuity, or both or neither?
I would go both. I would be diversified even up to that point. But now a lot of people, one of my millionaires this year decided he would do some annuities. And at the last minute, he said, nah, let's just do another $1 million in that life settlement.
Wow. It's almost like he's picking what kind of sandwich to have for lunch.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, regardless, wherever people are, there's something for everybody.
There's something for everybody. Something that'll work.
Okay.
And don't get discouraged if you have some go over. Just say, okay, those have went over. Let's see how soon we can get them to become maturities.
Yeah. And if they do go over, there's still, you've already run all the math. You've done the numbers. There's still massive profit in these when the policy
Except
does go
those
over.
Old ones. Remember, we've got the three old ones, but we're just going to barely squeak by on those. Barely squeak by.
Those three that you got like a million years ago.
A million years ago, we bought those. They put it to us when they sold it to us. They just simply put it to us, and we fell for it. But we haven't since. We've been a little bit more cautious.
Those three will be a thorn in your side till the end of time, I think.
I know. I kept trying to figure out who could we sell those to. I mean, you know, I'm going, let's sell those to some unsuspecting soul.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right.
But
so
we have to stay with them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, so for people to come talk to you, they need to do, is there anything they need to do ahead of time? Should they be prepared with questions?
They need to figure out if they are worth $1 million without the house, or if they make $200,000 a year. And then they can come and talk to me. We'll see if this is for them. If it is, we'll do a deal.
Okay, cool. And for people to do that, they do need to make an appointment. They shouldn't just plan on just walking in or picking up the phone and have a long conversation. Go ahead, schedule an appointment to make sure you've got time and you are you know, give them full attention and all that. So what's your phone number one last time for people to call and make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.